Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, a portion of chapter 2. We will begin to read at verse 21 and read through verse 40. Luke chapter 2, we'll read 21 through 40. Our text this evening is found in verses 25 through 30. First part of the narrative regarding Simeon. Pay special attention to that section, 25 through 30, as I won't reread all of that. We hear the word of God in Luke 2, beginning at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus far we read from the infallibly inspired scriptures. As I said, our text this evening is found in this passage of Luke 2, verses 25 through 30. 25 through 30. This time I'll reread only verses 29 and 30. 29 and 30. We read, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph and Mary had not remained long in the stable, of course. Undoubtedly, Joseph had been able to find more suitable, more comfortable accommodations when many of the visitors who had been in Bethlehem for the tax registration had returned to their own homes. The family was at least settled in a house. It was obviously the case at the time when the wise men from the east had arrived sometime later. At any rate, Joseph and Mary were still in Bethlehem when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. Though Jesus was indeed the realization of the hope and promise of circumcision, it was fitting that he yet be circumcised as well as later baptized. By his own circumcision, he came under the law in order that he might become the end of it. It was at the time of his circumcision, as was customary in those days, that Joseph and Mary named the child, calling him Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Several weeks later, Joseph and Mary took the baby Jesus, traveled to the temple in Jerusalem, about 6 miles north of Bethlehem. It was now the 41st day of Jesus' life, and there was opportunity to fulfill the law. They went up to Jerusalem for two reasons, both of which were according to the law of Moses. The law required that firstborn sons be presented unto the Lord in the temple and then be redeemed or bought back at the price of 5 shekels. Recall that all the firstborn sons among Israel belonged to Jehovah as his special possession to serve him in the sanctuary. However, since the tribe of Levi was specifically set apart for this purpose and took the place of the firstborn were redeemed from this service, but yet had to be presented in the temple and redeemed for 5 shekels. In addition, 40 days after the birth of a son, the mother was to bring sacrifices to the temple for her purification. She was to bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. If, however, because of poverty, she was not able to bring a lamb, she was permitted instead to bring a second turtle dove or young pigeon. Apparently, this was the case with the mother of Jesus, for according to verse 24, Joseph and Mary brought what was required of the poor. It was while they were there at the temple, on this particular occasion, that there occurred another of those instances of unexpected recognition of the Christ child, that of Simeon, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon, just and devout as he was, knew that the realization of his hope was about to take place for him and for all God's people. The Lord's Christ had come. And it's in this light that we consider our text under the theme, the realization of Simeon's hope. And we notice, first of all, his hope. Secondly, its realization. And finally, the comfort. Can you picture the scene there in the temple? Undoubtedly, there were few more common sights than the one witnessed that morning within the temple. It must have taken place virtually every day that mothers brought their children to be in this way dedicated and redeemed. It was part of the daily routine work of the priest in waiting to take their payments, to hold up the child before the altar, to enroll their names in the register of the firstborn, and so to complete the dedication. There was nothing particularly noticeable with regard to this couple and their infant son, a poor man and woman in humble clothing, with humblest offerings, presented themselves before the priest. The woman holds out her firstborn babe. The priest takes the child, presents, enrolls, hands him back to her. Very routine. Apparently nothing more has been done in all of this than is so often done when firstborn children are consecrated. But who was this little child? He is, after as his birth had proclaimed him to be, one of the seed of Abraham, and yet he afterwards said of himself, "Before Abraham was, I am." He is, as the angel had proclaimed him to be, David's son and David's heir. But as he said afterwards of himself, the root as well as the branch of David, David's Lord as well as David's son. He is the firstborn of Mary, but also the firstborn of every creature. He is the infant of 41 days, but also the Ancient of Days, whose goings forth were from of old, yea, from everlasting. He is the Lord, the promised Messiah. And an old man had been waiting, hoping for precisely this child, Simeon, a man who apparently had seen many, many years go by. He was evidently a man who throughout his life had loved Jehovah God. By grace, he'd strived to live according to the Word of God, a spiritual man. He had trusted in the promise of God with all his being. God's promises meant everything to him. And so he waited in the temple for the Messiah, the anointed of God. He waited for the Redeemer who would save him from his sins. He waited for the consolation of Israel. Simeon, in his old age, had received the promise of God that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Beholding this infant, there floods into his heart a joy beyond all bounds. And hastening to Mary, he takes from the wondering and yet consenting mother's hands the babe, clasping the little child to his bosom. With eyes uplifted to heaven, he exclaims, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon had been waiting, hoping for the Messiah. He was a true spiritual son of the covenant people, a true Israelite spiritually. There were not so many like himself. As far as the hope of the Messiah was concerned, surely it was present among Israel, but it was largely a hope such as made the people blind for the Messiah when he finally came in the fullness of time. For it was an expectation of an earthly king, not of the consolation of Israel. The faithful people of God had not died out. There remained, as always, the remnant according to the election of grace. Simeon, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, hoped for the coming of him that should redeem Israel. But what was Simeon's hope? We're not speaking about hope in the common way in which we so often use the word. We may say, for example, that we hope it will snow tomorrow. And we mean that we really don't know whether it will snow. We perhaps even doubt that it will snow. We merely wish that God will send snow. That's not the scriptural idea of hope. That kind of hope is, in many respects, doubt. It does not in any sense imply any certainty. But hope in the biblical sense implies three things. Hope is, first of all, expectation. It looks toward the future with expectation. But even more, hope is also certainty. It is more than mere cold expectation. It's a confidence that that which we expect will surely come. But hope is also desire. Desire. It's an intense longing for that which we expect. It's a longing that is far more intense than any mere wish for snow or anything else earthly. It's a longing that really colors everything we do. This true hope was Simeon's. Simeon expected the promised Messiah to come. Simeon was confident, fully confident of that. And more than anything else, that was his fervent desire. The hope out of which Simeon lived was a hope or conscious trust in the promise of God. That promise was essentially the promise God had given already in the hearing of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The mother promise of Genesis 3, verse 15. Promise that was repeated throughout the old dispensation. The covenant promise that God had given to his church of that day of type and shadow was the hope and comfort of all the saints of the old dispensation. For the heart of that promise was the Christ, the promised Messiah. Adam and Eve and the church in them received the promised of Christ, the seed of the woman, God would deliver his people from the awful bondage of sin and death and hell by his only begotten Son. Christ would crush the power, yea, the head of the devil. He would save his people from their sins. The hope of Simeon was based on a sure knowledge of that promise. The prophets of old had spoken time and time again throughout Israel's history concerning the promised Messiah who was to come, the deliverance from the cruel bondage of Egypt was for God's people a type, a picture of the deliverance which the Christ would accomplish. Even on the cross, for God's people, the sacrifices which they brought to the temple pointed them to the sacrifice which would remove all their sin and guilt and make them righteous in God's sight. It was in the hope of this promise that Simeon lived. As a child of God, he stood firm throughout his life, trusting the covenant God. Throughout his many years, he had seen many, many dreadful, grievous things in Israel. At this time, he undoubtedly saw God's people sorely oppressed in many respects under the Roman rule. He had seen the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees who were supposed to be the spiritual leaders in Israel. He beheld the cold formalism of so many of the people. But over against all of this, Simeon in his old age had also seen and knew the faithful remnant in Israel who still clung to the promise of Jehovah God. There were still those whose lives were characterized by a true and living faith, a conscious trust in God to realize his promise. By grace, Simeon was one of these. His hope lived within him. His hope was there, burning brightly. Never did it grow dim or become extinguished. Simeon's hope was manifest in his life is very clear from the narrative here. We read, notice, that Simeon was just and devout in verse 25. He was a man who was spiritually minded. He was a pillar in Israel. The people of God in the land must have looked up to him and sought his guidance. In addition, more importantly, we read that he waited for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. His hope became manifest in that he waited upon the Lord. How often? Scriptures speak of our calling to wait upon the Lord. Think, for example, the closing verse of Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Simeon sought the comforter of Israel, the one who would bring salvation, forgiveness of sin. This hope was manifest in Simeon's life. He did not go forward with a half-hearted hope, a weak desire. On the contrary, verse 25 emphasizes to us that Simeon waited earnestly, continuously, hoping in God's sure promise all his life long. And remember, too, in this connection, that God had given to him the promise, we read, that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a marvelous blessing granted by God to this man who was living in hope. He was to have the privilege of seeing the Anointed One of Israel. Before Simeon went to the grave, he was to, with his eyes, behold the Messiah. His hope would be realized. From a negative point of view, it must be emphasized that the church, the nominal church, as it was represented in the nation of Israel, did not live out of that hope of God's promise. You can see that going back many, many years in their history, how Israel as a nation time and again forsook the Lord. Already in their wanderings in the wilderness, how quick they were to murmur and complain against God, who had delivered them from the cruel bondage of the land of Egypt. And when they forsook Jehovah, they were in reality forsaking the promise of God's Messiah. When they did this, they were not waiting for the consolation of Israel, as did Simeon. Further, recall how the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, rebelled against Rehoboam, the grandson of David. They said, "What portion have we in David? To your tents, O Israel." And the horrible fact is that when they said, "What portion have we in David?" they in effect said, "What portion have we in Christ, the promised Messiah?" They were saying, "We want nothing to do with God's promise. We refuse to place our hope in God, and in His Son we will trust in ourselves. We will trust in the arm of flesh." Positively must also be emphasized that always the elect, God's people, Israel, remained who placed their hope in God's sure promise, as did Simeon. The history of the church shows that very plainly to be true. Going back to Enoch and Noah, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to whom the promise was given, the people of God walked and manifested themselves as pilgrims and strangers in the earth. They sought the promised rest that was heavenly. They waited for their Redeemer in hope. Moses led the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, through the wilderness to the land, the typical land of promise, Canaan. In doing so, Moses, by grace, placed his trust in God and his promise. As Israel beheld Moses, they saw a type of their promised deliverer, the Messiah. And so it was throughout the history of the church. Even in the midst of the greatest time of apostasy, in the days of wicked King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, when it seemed as though there was no one left in Israel but Elijah the prophet, he was assured that there were still the 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal, the remnant, the 7,000, the church of the old dispensation, steadfastly, day by day, waited for the realization of the promise of Jehovah God. Oh yes, the words of David that we read must have been their motto by which they lived: wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so as Simeon waited in the temple in the hope of the realization of God's promise, so the church of the old dispensation waited. Simeon was a vivid, beautiful example of the child of God who longed for the Christ to come. And what is more striking, as Simeon waited in hope, he was then representative, as it were, of that church. In him was embodied the people of God who placed their hope in the God of their salvation. They hoped in the promise of God, and their hope was realized. First of all, the narrative itself expresses to us in a very vivid way that Simeon's hope was realized. Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple, as was the custom of the law. Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, according to verse 23. And in connection with this, and in keeping with the law, Joseph and Mary brought a sacrifice to offer the Lord. There in the temple, God-fearing Simeon stood, eagerly awaiting the promised one. Simeon knew that now the hope by which he had lived all his life long was soon to be realized. He knew this because the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, had led him to the temple. It was the Holy Spirit who had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And at this time, it was that same Spirit who directed Simeon to go to the temple. And not only this, but it was the Holy Spirit who revealed to Simeon Israel's consolation, the promised Messiah, this babe. And so it was that as Joseph and Mary were there in the temple, that Simeon, with a heart filled with joy and gladness, took up the babe in his arms. It's a very beautiful picture presented by the narrative. This aged saint of God takes up the infant in his arms, holding the baby Jesus close to him, perhaps cradling in his arms the very Son of God in our flesh. The years of his expectation and waiting were now over. And because of all this, the old man was filled with joy, and we read, blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In addition, Simeon's own words testify to the fact that his hope had been realized. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This little babe In the arms of Simeon was thy salvation. This baby was salvation. Literally, this child was the saving one. He is indeed Jesus, Jehovah, salvation. Would save his people from their sins. Very God and very man, the person of the Son of God, the perfect mediator, as salvation, this child was sent by God to atone for the sins of his people, all whom the Father had given him, sent by God to bear the burden of his just wrath on that accursed tree of the cross. In this way, Christ would present his people righteous before the throne of his Father. As salvation, this baby was the very king and head of his church. He had come to deliver his church, to save her to the uttermost. He had come to lead his church in that way which she must go, even the way everlasting. He was the consolation of Israel. Notice this baby was thy salvation. He was God's saving one, whom God had promised unto his people. He was the Lord's anointed one, Lord of lords and King of kings, the fulfillment of all those types and shadows of the Old Testament times. In the words of Simeon, this little child was he whom God had prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This salvation Simeon saw with his own eyes. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. For Simeon, this meant, as he looked at this child in his arms, he saw the fact that God had been faithful unto his promise. The promise had been fulfilled, not only in the sense that the promised Messiah of the church had come, that especially, of course, but even in the sense that God's promise to him that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, that too was fulfilled. As a child of God, Simeon knew that God had been ever faithful unto him. That assurance lived in his heart. And as a result of that wondrous fact, Simeon blessed God. He praised the very name of the Most High God. One could imagine him shouting with joy, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." In addition, this meant for Simeon that as he looked at this baby, he saw him who was sent to forgive his sins and blot out his trespasses. Even though aged, Simeon was a child of God whose hope was always strong, even though he lived by faith. Exactly because of that, he knew himself as a sinner. He was mindful of his own sin and misery. But now, he beheld in his arms the child who was to take away that sin and misery. He was salvation. Indeed, this child was the realization of Simeon's hope. And so too, beloved, this little baby in the arms of Simeon was the realization of the hope of the church. That's true, first of all, from the point of view of the church of that old dispensation. God had fulfilled his promise unto her. This babe was her salvation. As we read in verse 32, the glory of thy people Israel. But that's true in addition from the point of view of the church of the new dispensation. He was a light to lighten the Gentiles. Simeon at that time held in his arms our salvation. The head and king of his church, the victorious one, would come to conquer sin and death, the devil and his whole dominion. This child was the realization of our hope. Christ had come for us and for our salvation. That has precisely been the reason for our joy and gladness. Again, this Christmas season, has it not? The birth of our Savior, remembered in a special way. For us, this babe was sent by God to remove our sin, the sins that rise up against us, prevailing day by day. Though they be as scarlet, he would make them white as snow. In the birth of Christ, we too behold the faithfulness of our God. He is Jehovah, our covenant God, ever faithful unto his people. Never does he leave us nor forsake us, always. Yea, from eternity he has set his sovereign love upon us in Jesus Christ. And so it must be emphasized that on that joyous day, Simeon was not the only one who held the Christ child. As Simeon held the Christ in his arms, as it were, the whole believing church held its salvation. As Simeon lovingly looked upon the baby Jesus, so did all the saints of God of the old dispensation, yea, and also we with them. Principally, we too, even though this event recorded for us here in the Gospel according to Luke took place some 2,000 years ago, it is just as real for us today. Because of this, the Church of Jesus Christ rejoices along with Simeon. There's cause for rejoicing, for in this day joy is come. God's people throughout the ages bless God for their salvation. We too lift up our hearts in thanksgiving to God. With Simeon, we shout for joy. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We see the Holy Scriptures on every page, the salvation of our God, a portrait, as it were, of the Christ. What comfort. What comfort for that aged saint Simeon. He'd been waiting for the consolation of Israel. That true comfort that God would provide. Must have been the happiest day of his life. The climax of all his many years upon the earth in this vale of tears. By grace he had served the Lord But now that he had seen the Lord's salvation, he was ready to depart, to die. God had comforted him with a comfort greater than anything imaginable. And so in gratitude to God for this unspeakable gift, Simeon replied, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Literally, now thou art releasing thy slave. It emphasizes the idea that in Simeon's mind and heart, he knew that his pilgrimage here on this earth had nearly come to an end. He had beheld the Lord's salvation, and he was ready to be released from this veil of tears. God had been faithful to his promise according to his word. He is ready to die. For him, death held no sting, and the grave no victory. Death for him was but the doorway to everlasting life. He was released by his Savior in peace. Oh yes, the Christ brought comfort to his soul. There was no struggle, no strife, no unrest, no fear, no tension. Simeon could depart in peace because he had beheld the Lord's salvation. Ultimately, that peace was through the blood that would be shed upon that accursed tree of the cross. That peace was established by that babe through the shedding of his blood. There would be reconciliation. Christ gave to him the knowledge, the confidence of the forgiveness of his sins. So he was ready to depart in peace, to be with his God. For Simeon, the words of Christ in John 14, verse 27, would be very real. "Peace," Jesus said, "peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Simeon found perfect comfort in the salvation that had been realized even in the fullness of time, the Christ. Beloved, Simeon had surely believed promises of God. Had he died before their fulfillment, he would have died in the full assurance that the promises of Jehovah never fail. Simeon, however, had been made to understand that the realization of the promise lay just ahead. And it was with fervent desire that he anticipated beholding it, a desire that could be satisfied only in the seeing of the object of his hope. It was therefore surely for himself that Simeon, when he held the baby Jesus in his arms, said, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." And yet, as we've already seen too, in a sense he spoke for the entire dispensation of which he was a part. The hope that sustained Simeon was the same hope that characterized the people of God in the entire old dispensation. All the prophets had spoken of it. all the thousands upon thousands of sacrifices had been offered in anticipation of its fulfillment. Prophets and priests and kings alike were shadows of the reality that was to come. And now that that dispensation, like Simeon, was about to die, it could not, however, do so till it reached the reality of the new in Simeon as its representative. It did just that. And having done so, it could, with all of its types and shadows of some 4,000 years of history, depart forever. In Christ, the promise was fulfilled. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Beloved, do you know that comfort? Do you have that consolation? On this final Lord's Day of the year 2020, in the midst of the troubled times in which we live, the comfort of that promise, of that salvation, of that Christ, we see so much more than Simeon could see the moment of the presentation in the temple. We see by faith not only the wonder of the incarnation of the Son of God, but we also see the truth that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself in the blood of the cross. We see the glorious resurrection of Christ on the third day. We see that He ascended up into heaven, His exaltation at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We see Him even now ruling over all things. The purposes of God may be fulfilled, His kingdom come, and His beloved bride, the church, be saved to the uttermost. Do you see Jehovah's salvation? Do you behold your Savior? Are you living in hope for His return? Looking on Him by faith, we may be called the servants of the living God. And as His servants, we too may look forward to our release from service in this world in order to enter into the eternal reward. We know not when that shall be. It is well as we come to the end of another year that we ponder these things. We can take so much for granted. The Lord alone knoweth the number of our days. But as the old saying goes, the old must die, the young can die. But may we have that peace in life and in death, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we face the dark valley of the shadow of death, as we do, we continue our pilgrim journey also in the new year presently through that valley. But we can say with Simeon, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Surely, by grace it is. When flesh shall fail and heart strings break, sweet will the minutes roll. a mortal paleness on my cheek, but glory in my soul. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Bless it unto our hearts and lives by Thy Spirit, we pray, that we too may be manifest as Thy people who go forward in hope, a hope that will not make us ashamed, longing, yea, living with uplifted heads, looking for the return of our blessed Lord and Savior, Thy salvation, even Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. We ask it with the remission of our sins. In His name, amen.